Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our meditation this morning as we look at the resurrection to eternal life is the second lesson from 1 Thessalonians 4. It's printed for you on page 5 of the worship folder. When the Lord inspired the Apostle Paul to write the great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, one of the things that Paul said there was, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all people. Let me repeat that. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied above all people. What does that mean to you? Well, it probably means to you the same thing it means to me. If this life is all there is, if my reason for being a Christian, my reason for believing in Jesus, is just to have hope in this life, and there's no eternal life, then what's really the point? I mean, does it really make sense to work on your faith in Jesus and to be a Christian if all you're really trying to do is improve your life here? Sad to say, that's what a lot of people believe today, and unfortunately, that's what a lot of churches teach. You're a Christian so God can make your life here better. And I suppose that's the way a lot of people think, because when you look at people and ask what their goals in life are, so many times their goal in life centers around health, happiness, and money, right? You ask a high school senior graduating from high school and say, well, what are your plans after you graduate? And the conversation would probably go something like this. Say, so what are your plans after you graduate? And, well, I plan to go to college and get a good education. Well, what then? Well, I want to get a good job so I can make lots of money. Well, that's a good thing. Everybody wants that, but what then? Well, I want to get married and I want to have a nice family. That's a good goal. But what then? Well, I'm going to use all the money I'm making to provide everything my family needs. I want to have a nice big house, nice cars, nice clothes, nice furniture, and go on lots of vacations. You know, let my family see the world. Well, everybody wants that too, right? But what then? Well, my goal is to retire early, hopefully by the time I'm 55. Well, what then? Well, I'm going to enjoy my retirement. I'm going to live in the summer. In the summer, I'm going to live here in Chicago. And in the winters, I'm going to either live in Florida or Arizona. Best of both worlds. And then I'm going to travel again. I'm going to see the world. All those vacations I didn't have time for while I was working. Sounds like a great retirement, but what then? Well, I suppose, like everybody, eventually I'll get old and have to settle down. Won't be able to do all the traveling. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into one of those really nice retirement centers, you know, where you have your own apartment. They provide 3 meals a day and everything you need. I'm just going to kick back and enjoy my old age. Well, what then? Well, I suppose, like everybody else, I'm probably going to die. And then the big question, right? Well, what then? What happens then? And that's the question that so many people in our society simply ignore. And it's also a question that a lot of times you and I want to just put out of our minds because we don't want to think about dying. But see, we know what then, don't we? We know that when we die, we are going to go to heaven and be with Jesus forever. That's what we confess when we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. The resurrection to eternal life. When the Apostle Paul wrote these words to the Thessalonians, he was answering a question that they had, and I think a question that a lot of people today have. You know, they understood that someday Jesus was going to return and take all believers to heaven, but the question they had is, what happens to all the people who have died before Jesus returns? Or what happens to my body if I die before Jesus returns? See, they understood the everlasting life part. They didn't know the resurrection to eternal life part. So the Apostle Paul answers their question by saying, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know, that's one of those words that has changed meaning in our society. I would ask kids in my confirmation class when we'd look at this verse, and I'd say, what does the word ignorant mean? And of course they would say, well, it means rude. It means being ignorant to someone. I said, no, it doesn't. It means to not understand, right? To be unaware. So he says, I don't want you to be unaware or not understand about those who have fallen asleep, because I don't want you to grieve like those who have no hope. He's not telling us we can't grieve for those we have lost, but he said, I don't want you to grieve like people who have absolutely no hope of ever seeing their loved ones again. And then he goes on to tell us why. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. It's because of Jesus, right? We believe that Jesus died, that Jesus rose again, and that Jesus went to heaven. Well, because of that, we also believe that all believers, all who have fallen asleep in Jesus, God will raise from the dead, just like Jesus rose, and he will take them to heaven, us to heaven, just like Jesus went to heaven. And then he describes what will happen on the last day. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. And then he tells us to encourage each other with these words. So it said, when Jesus comes, those who are alive, we're not going to precede or go ahead of anybody, because Jesus is going to raise from the dead all believers. The dead in Christ will rise first. And notice, it's going to be very audible and very visible, right? The Lord himself, Jesus, will descend from heaven with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, probably Michael, a trumpet call of God. We're going to know it. The dead in Christ will be raised. And then those of us, if we're still alive when Jesus comes, we will be taken with them to heaven to be with the Lord forever. Just some awesome words, right? About what happens to people when they die. Now, I guess people today ask some of the same questions the Thessalonians did. I've had people ask me, well, okay, I don't understand what the Bible means about the bodily resurrection. What about people who are cremated? What about people who are lost at sea? What's going to happen to them? And my answer is, we're talking about God here? Not a problem. If God could create Adam out of the dust of the ground, he can certainly raise everybody else, right? Just some comforting words. I think of the words of Job. Remember Job? Job had lost everything he had. All his kids died. All of his livestock was taken away from him. His health was taken away. He was sitting in a pile of ashes, scraping the sores on his body with a piece of pottery. And what did he say? That famous Easter hymn, right? I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he will stand on this earth in the latter day. And even though my body is destroyed, I will see the Lord. In my flesh, my eyes will see him and not another. So we know what'll happen, right? When a Christian dies, our soul immediately goes to heaven. We know that from what Jesus said to the thief on the cross, right? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Or what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes. The dust returns to the ground it came from, but the spirit, the soul, returns to God who gave it. And now the question is, do we understand that? Do we really understand how all of this works? Do you understand that on the day you die, or when Jesus returns, it's your faith in Christ that determines whether you go to heaven or whether you end up in hell? And maybe we should step back a little bit. What do you really know about heaven and hell? Now, I don't know a lot about either one. All I know is that God describes hell by using words like fire, agony, and torment. And he says it's going to be forever. And God describes heaven, as he did in our first reading today, as a place where God will wipe all tears from our eyes, right? No more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, no more sin. The Apostle Peter, in his first letter, talked about heaven as being an inexpressible and glorious joy. Inexpressible because you can't put into words how glorious heaven must be like. But we really don't know a whole lot about heaven. We don't know a whole lot about hell. But let me ask you this. Do you know enough about heaven and enough about hell to know where you want to be? Yeah, I think we do. And if people understood that the difference between heaven and hell is based on Jesus and not them, and it's based on having faith in Christ, and if people understood what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that God creates faith through baptism and his word, and God strengthens and sustains faith in Christ through the word of God and reception of the Lord's Supper. If people really understood that, this church and all other churches would be full every Sunday, wouldn't they? If people really understood that hearing the word and receiving the Lord's Supper is what keeps their faith in Christ strong and assures them of eternal life. But I think a better question is, do you understand that? Do you understand that it's faith in Jesus that determines whether you go to heaven or hell? Do you understand that it's the Word of God that strengthens your faith and keeps you close to Jesus and assures you of eternal life? Do you understand that it's reception of the Lord's Supper, which assures you of forgiveness, reminds you of what Jesus has done, and strengthens your faith? I often wonder, because if we really understood that, I think every one of us would find time somehow in our day for daily Bible reading. If we really understood that, I don't think coming to church on Sunday would ever be an option. And I also don't think that people would walk out the door after church and choose to go home or to the restaurant rather than stay to study the Word of God. Let's go back to the high school student. Do you think all of his dreams were realized? I mean, go back to when you were in high school and what your plans were for the future. Now, kids have lofty goals. You know, with our eighth graders across the street, they would always be asked, what are you going to do when you grow up? You know, and of course, eighth graders are all going to be, the boys are all going to be basketball players and football players, but that doesn't matter. But the other question that was asked is, where do you see yourself in, I think it was 10 years? And they were all rich. That's what they wanted. They were all rich. And you know, in the 35 years I've been here, I don't know a single one of our eighth grade graduates who grew up and became filthy rich, or a professional ball player, or an actress, or a singer, or all those lofty goals they had. But I do know some who are in heaven. All of those goals aren't always reached, because there's so many things that life throws at us, whether it be the economy, whether it be sickness, or whatever. But yet we all prepare, right? Depending upon your stage of life, you're either preparing for a career, you're preparing for retirement, you're preparing for your old age. But every single one of us ought to be preparing for heaven. Because all the other what-thens that you talk about are not assured. But through the cross of Christ, through your faith in Christ, the day you die, what happens then?